Hartline and Benjamin near side of the right. A minute 55 to go in the game. The Browns are down by 7. Duke Johnson in the shotgun with Austin Davis at the Raven 42. And on first down, here comes a blitz. Here's Davis up in the pocket. He got away. He looks. He fires. Benjamin's open. Got it. 10-5. Touchdown.
He did a nice job of escaping the blitz from the corner. Stepped up in the pocket and delivered a strike.
So let me ask you all right now, what do you think of Austin Davis right now?
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Ohio business machine. The Cleveland Browns know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. We go to the OBM hotline right now, and we're joined by the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan. Jim, now about 12 hours, 14 hours removed from that game, what are you thinking the following morning?
Nathan, I did not sleep a wink. I don't know if it was the outcome and how shocking it was or how exciting it was leading up to that. It's shocking. I mean, it was a shocking, most shocking ending I have ever seen in a bad way for the Browns. I mean, I've seen them win a couple on Hail Marys through the years since 1999, but this one really on the shocking category, it tops the list because I was just thinking there were two scenarios. Number one, he makes it. He makes the kick and they win the game. Number two is he doesn't make the kick and we go to overtime. But I never thought there was a third scenario where there would be a blocked field goal and a loose ball would be picked up and scored the other way and they would lose. So it's incredible.
And Jim, I guess my question for you, just looking at the schedule ahead, our bye has now come and gone. Questions about clock management, questions at quarterback, question about defensive play calling, playmakers now at wide receiver with Terrell Pryor potentially being signed today. I look at the schedule. I don't see us favored in one football game. Where do we go from here? And how hard of a sell is Mike Pettine to this team?
Well, I think it's a very difficult one. I think that when you come and get a bye like that and get as much time as the Browns had to get ready for that game, which seemed a little longer than the normal bye week because of the other week just prior to that, the Cincinnati game being that Thursday night. I think it becomes a tough sell. I really do, because I think you go into that game, if you take a step back and you take a look at that game last night and you say to yourself, no Joe Flacco, no Justin Forsett, really no name wide receiver that the Ravens had, a lot of key players just missing all over the board. And you're at home and you've had a ton of time to get ready for it. And there's a comfort factor in the fact that you've got Josh McCown back in there. And McCown has played well and specifically never played better than he did against the Ravens. I think you really come out of that game saying, boy, we definitely should have won it. And quite frankly, maybe should have won it, not dramatically, but kind of, take the game under control and win the game. And you didn't. And then the shocking way that it ended. And man, I think it's a really tough sell. And I think right now where we are is you just go on to the next game and you're on a countdown to the end of the season. When apparently, you would look at the numbers and say a lot of things are going to happen.
Talking with Jim Donovan. Jim, when you look at this game and you look at where this season is right now, what do you point to as probably the biggest disappointment for you?
Well, the defense, which I thought was really going to be good, continues. And I know they had the two picks last night and Dansby scored on the one. But still down, down in and down out. I mean, it just seems as though teams are able to move the football on them and they can run on them. And then because the secondary is in such shambles now with injuries and people not playing for a long period of time like Joe Hayden, you just look at that and you just look and see how wide open people were. And I know you mentioned it on one of your sideline reports about how difficult this was going to be when Gilbert went out and Kaywan Williams went in and Bonamoshi was behind that. And you just look at it and the plays look like first preseason game, defensive plays where there's so much open space because people don't know their assignments and it's just a real mess. And I think it's been a mess defensively all year long. So that's where it starts with me. But it seems as though, Nathan, that, you know, we're springing leaks everywhere right now. And now, you know, they had, you know, a really bad game on special teams last night. And that's another leak now that, you know, kind of springs on them. And you got to stick a thumb in that leak and try and stop that. So it's just the overwhelming part of how everything that they thought they were going to do well, special teams now, defense all year long, offensive line really controlling things, really being a running team that was going to allow them to do what they wanted to do offensively, and none of that has come to fruition.
Yeah, you're right, Jim, and I was listening to the really big show as you joined Tony Rizzo on the show, and the fact that you went home and watched the television version after you had just called the game, and obviously probably a big reason why you didn't get any sleep. And just your comments, you know, coming out of watching it on television, and then John Gruden's comments throughout the football game, and how harsh they were in regards to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, and you know they were very systematic, though. I mean, it was almost as if, you know, he was giving a critique, and I don't think he was doing it in a mean-spirited way.
No, I mean he was spot on too.
He was spot on, and I mean how lengthy it was, and how broad it was. And yet how it attacked every bit of what we've talked about probably, well, certainly on nine Mondays after games, and now this one a Tuesday, you know, after these losses, and we talk about the problems. Now, you know, a lot of us, you know, some people can say, oh, that's the local media, you know, just tired of a 2-9 team now. But this was different now. This is a guy with a great deal of credibility. This is a guy who a lot of people tune into every Monday night, and certainly in the build-up to drafts to see, you know, what you're going to do with the quarterback position and, you know, and kind of go by his guidance. And he went down from coaching to front office to players to free agents to rookies to ownership and systematically critiqued the Browns. And I would have to say, and I don't think I'm being overboard on this, I would have to say he gave them low grades, if not failing grades, in a lot of those assessments.
Jim, Austin Davis came in, provided a spark. Obviously not enough to get it done, but certainly did provide a spark. Your thoughts on whether or not he should be the starting quarterback this Sunday, or if you would go to Johnny Manziel?
Well, I think if you're a guy that, you know, if you go by your word and your commitment to your word, I would say it would be Austin Davis. I mean, and I'm only going by the head coach and how forceful and how intent he was to, you know, prove a point that what happened between him and Johnny Manziel and the rest of his coaching staff was unacceptable and wasn't going to be tolerated, then I think it would be Austin Davis. In the line of succession, by the numbers that they stuck next to each quarterback, McCollum 1, Davis 2, Manziel 3, if you went numerologically, you would say it would be Davis 2. I think that, you know, at this point, you got to be worth your word, and if you're going to carry it through, then I think that he should and will stick with Austin Davis. Now, I am so fascinated to see the other guy play, you know, because I was excited before all of this came out to think that we were going to watch him for the final six games, and now it's five. But I, you know, I just go back to old-fashioned, you take someone at their word. I'm taking Mike Pettine at his word that he is that upset with Manziel that he is going to prove a point and that, you know, he'll give Austin Davis a look.
Yeah, we certainly hope so. And Jim, last one from me. A few other young players got, you know, additional opportunities to show what they can do. Justin Gilbert won both at corner and kick returner. Then Cam Irving starting his second consecutive game at guard. Just your overall take on some of the young Browns and their performance last night.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what, Matt? One name I would like to mention is I'm just fascinated with Duke Johnson because I really like Duke Johnson. But I just think that there is so much more to him, and when he did run and the few opportunities he had to take handoffs, he hit everything so much faster than Crowell did, to the point where I think he beat some would-be tacklers into the spot and then got a little running room. Not that it was, you know, not that it was cavernous and he could run, you know, till he ran into the end zone, certainly, but I thought that he made some good running lanes for himself with his speed. But there really is no commitment to the run here. I mean, it's just not there. I mean, they are one-dimensional all the way. No matter what the score is, they are one-dimensional. Irving seemed to struggle, I thought, you know, and I thought that some of the hits that McCollum took, you know, could be tagged on him. Gilbert, you know, I really didn't notice anything glaring, you know, in the secondary. I thought that he hit a couple of those returns very quickly. I thought he got into a period of time where he hesitated on a couple of other ones. Nothing sparkling, I didn't think. But, you know, Duke Johnson does appear to be the full package if he was allowed to be the full package.
And hopefully that's something over the final five games.
Yeah.
You have an opportunity to just find out what's going on with some of the guys that are going to be your building blocks, if there are any on this team. And I think that's really where a lot of the frustration comes in is you saw Cam Irving, I thought, had another tough day at the office. Danny Shelton certainly has not been an impact player. We know the Johnny story. We know the Gilbert story. We saw Terrence West, who I thought looked trimmer and more explosive than he did at any time he was a member of the Cleveland Browns. And overall, you look at what's going on here, and it's tough. It's tough. It's just a tough situation right now, and I think that would be true of any NFL team that is 2-14 in their last 16 games and doesn't seem to have those young pieces that at least people are getting excited about.
Yeah, you're exactly right. When you take a look and say, all right, you're 2-9, and you're going to empty out the bench and put in young players, and specifically because you've been drafting where you've been drafting, those players were selected very high in the draft, and when you finally do put them out there and they look so shaky and so far away from being able to really nail down a job and hold on to it for a long period of time, that is even a little bit scarier than the record right now, because, you know, it just seems as though that's what you got to lean on are your young players and your draft choices, and hoping that, you know, all of the background work and all of the scouting that you did on them is going to click. And they're going to be really functional players when you need them to be. And so far, that's been, you know, kind of coming up empty too.
Jim, final one for me is just kind of what would you put on your wish list, if anything, for the final five games that you could come out of here and something that this team can hopefully hang their hat on? Because it seems if it goes down this path, there have to be or would most likely be big, big changes once again.
Yeah, well, the thing is, now, I think everybody needs to realize when they're playing, you know, down the stretch in these five games, other than the San Francisco game, they are going to be playing against teams that really probably are going to need a win on that particular Sunday for a playoff spot or for playoff positioning. So you're probably going to get quick kills and, you know, teams coming
in here
to look to make a real quick move on them and try and blow them out and at least get a win. So you're going to get everybody's A effort in that one. So realistically, I would say this, Nathan, if they play as hard as they did last night, and I'm going to give them credit for that. I thought they played hard all the way through, even when they were down by 14 points, because you could have mailed it in at that point, and some teams would have. But they didn't, and they fought back and took a lead and then fought back again. If they play that way, I hope they are rewarded, you know, with another couple of wins. You know, I don't think that's too much to ask for Christmas before we hit that, but that's what I would look for right now.
Take another look at that final five games there, Jim.
But effort should pay off in a day where maybe, as we said, you know, in no area is it clicking right now. Maybe on one particular day they put it all together and they feel better about themselves and make this a little bit easier to watch with five left.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the one thing, you know, that at least, and the Marlon Moore touchdown epitomized it to me. We got knocked down, got back up, and came back. When you look at, you know, at least they showed resiliency and competitiveness. It was down 17-3 national TV. They could have easily folded in the tent right there, and that's at least something that seems positive.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, take a look at Philadelphia on Thanksgiving Day. You know, what happened in Detroit. I mean, you know, the Eagles are kind of spiraling out of control, too. And there's a lot of hints of, problems within the Eagles organization with Chip Kelly. And, you know, it did fall apart on national TV for them. And it didn't last night. I give them that they really stayed in the game and were rewarded by playing hard with, you know, not the result maybe that, you know, we all wanted and maybe that they deserved, but at least they were right there and played very hard and played very competitively.
Jim, appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much. And I just have to ask, was there ever a Wolfpack rumble last night before the Baltimore Ravens departed town?
No, I think, you know what? I think had the kick gone through, Nathan, I would have felt better about rumbling with our Wolfpack against their Wolfpack.
Ah, that was certainly one of the highlights on the call for those who were able to get it and appreciate it. Jim, thank you so much.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
All right, when we come back, more of your reaction, 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.